You're listening to the Inquisitive Wren Podcast, the show that brings you philosophical ponderings of your life from a bird's eye view. Now, here's your host, Shah.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for joining me today. Katerina Miletic is an award-winning aquarelle and silk fine art painter, interior designer, and vintage furniture designer. She's founded Indigo and Verdigris, a fine art brand, and she's also a photographer. So I'm really pleased to be speaking with her today about her work. Welcome, Katerina. Katerina, welcome. Thank you so much for doing this today. It's lovely to see you as always.
Thank you, Sha. It's such a pleasure to be here with you.
Pleasure's all mine. So I want to start out with asking you about the name of your brand, Indigo and Verdigris. How did you come up with the name?
A lot of people ask me that question, and I'm glad you're curious about it too. But there is no deeper mystery than I only named my brand after my two favorite pigments, which are indigo and verdigris. But there is a deeper connection that I have with each of these colors. So indigo reminds me, it's my favorite color in the world. Actually, the color is called navy, but, you know, I would get in all sorts of trouble if I called my business navy, right? I think the name is taken. The deepest blue reminds me of the deep waters of the Adriatic Sea. That is where my family and I went on holidays when I was a little girl and up until I was 21. And also when my children were babies, we took them back there so that they have this connection with the place. And verdigris is the color of copper roofs in Europe. So throughout Europe and in Belgrade, the city I was born and grew up in, there is a lot of copper roofs which have in the weather turned this lovely shade of light green, you know, that powdery green. So that reflects who I am. It connects me with history, with my growing up. And I wanted to reflect those connections and ties with history also within my brand. So the name lends itself nicely to that.
It's beautiful. It has such a lovely sing energy to it as well. So now I know you do, you've got lots of, you wear different hats. You're an interior designer, you restructure vintage pieces, you paint, you do a lot of different things. And I'm always interested in the approach people take. At the moment, I'm watching the Netflix program on Andy Warhol. I've always loved him. I find him more intriguing than his art, I have to say. He may not want, he may not agree with it like that. But anyway, he can tell me from the grave if he wants. But I've always found him interesting. But I just wondered, you know, he takes a different approach. It appeared so far that his art reflected his life. And so I just wondered for you, with every piece or whatever, what's your approach? Is it different? Is it the same?
It's exactly the same. I think artists are big children, and we don't try to escape from it. We try our damn hardest to persist in that endeavor, you know, to keep our innocence, to play, and to for all of that to reflect in everything that we do. So it's art and beyond art, right? So it's beyond the pieces that I paint. Literally everything I do, every conversation I have, every friendship I have, it is reflective of that deep, playful nature inside me. And funny you should say that about Andy Warhol, because I have exactly the same feeling as well. Him as a person is so dear to me, even though I'm not the greatest fan of his art.
Yes, exactly. You know, I have a piece, not an original, of course, but I do have a portrait here, the Marilyn one. But it was given to me. It's not, obviously not an original, but it was given to me, and the person was special. So I've kept it. And it's lovely. I've got very fond connection to it.
Yes.
However, and I do think a lot of what he did was very interesting, mm-hmm. but I felt, yeah, I understand that totally. What I'm like, I like to look things up. So I've got a quote here. It's connected to the arts that I want to read out. And I just want to get your thoughts on this from, you know, an artist like mm-hmm. yourself. It says, you say that your heart is in the past, your head in the future, but you live in the moment. You're collecting, this is you. This is your quote. You know that. Yeah. So I just want to get your thoughts on this quote. I was wondering when it would twig. It was you. You're collecting memories and sharing the best of you with everyone you encounter. I love that, actually. Because mm-hmm. I think we often go through life. We have encounters with people and sometimes they stay and then sometimes they dissipate into mm-hmm. nothingness. I remember mm-hmm. once meeting a Russian author and it was just random meeting. And I looked them up and mm-hmm. wow, they do a lot of work. But what are your thoughts? Why did you say that? What was that all about?
As you know, I like to contemplate life a lot. And everything that I have lived in my life was somehow created by me, whether that was conscious or not consciously. I have this feeling that it was deliberate, that it had the meaning. And then throughout my life, the events that happened that challenged me to grow bigger only deepened that feeling. And I discovered that when I give things deeper meaning, I am able to stay focused on those things, you see, rather than getting lost and rushing ahead of time or staying in the past, which is I witnessed that a lot with my friends and even people who I was in relationships with, they were stuck in the past a lot of the time, right? Yeah. So my best effort to stay in the present moment is to do my art and to live by this very saying that you have read.
That is beautiful, because it really is life imitating art, isn't it? That's probably the quintessential life imitator. Charlie Chaplin said, we think too much, we feel too little. And I love that too, because I think we are in our heads. I can attest to that. It's only when I'm still and quiet that I feel as though I'm feeling. And not always, but mostly. What are your thoughts about that?
Wow. I mean, you touched upon someone who is one of my greatest artists of all time. That's Charlie Chaplin. And I know absolutely nothing about his personal life, nor am I interested to know. But what he has created as a message for humanity has just left a huge impact on me in my life, right? His ability to smile through difficult times and to make other people smile, it makes me emotional just thinking about it. And he nailed it there. He nailed it with the feeling quote. So I am so grateful you brought that one to my attention, because that is not the one I heard before.
Wow. Yes.
I'm surprised.
And isn't it amazing, after all these years, his work, his art remains some of the most highly revered pieces of art that touches people's souls.
And it's relevant to this day.
Absolutely relevant. Yes. Absolutely relevant to this day. Mm. Isn't that what art is, though? Isn't that why we still go to museums that are about to fall down and collapse? Isn't that why we trust that we'll get through it? We walk through those halls, we stop and we stare, we feel, we sense.
Indeed. And I'm an advocate that everyone is creative. As you know, I'm in contact with many entrepreneurs and leaders.
Yes.
And I like to wake up this feeling mm-hmm. inside them of realization that, hey, what I'm doing is a form of art.
Which brings me to this idea of disruptive being disruptive. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, certainly. All my life, I've identified most with the word rebel. I found myself in that word, but it somehow didn't fit completely, right? Because rebel, as per definition, has to stand against something. Right. And I wasn't necessarily standing against something. I was more like rebel without a cause, until I discovered the word disruptive. And I realized for myself how this word describes me, because I could not confine myself to a conventional way of thinking. I couldn't, even in school, I objected to this way, you know, the educational systems and even higher, even more suffer from this, that they really need to imprint on you a certain way of thinking rather than letting you think for yourself. But I was lucky also to have a couple of professors who were going against the grain in that sense of the traditional education. So they let me be the free thinker. And one of them was my philosophy teacher. And I was so grateful to her because she saw something in me that she didn't want to confine, you know? And I mean, she supported everyone in thinking freely, but she was the one who absolutely let you express yourself the way you were feeling the subject, not the way that you were supposed to learn, right? And so to me, disruptive means forward thinker, means being brave to express what you think and how you feel, being curious, questioning things, examining things for yourself, going out there in front and leading the way. So to me, all of that fits in the word disruptive. So I am a disruptive leader and disruptive thinker, and I encourage everyone who comes near me to become the same way.
Right. So this is interesting. One of my favorite professors was my philosophy professor. Mm-hmm. I was just talking about that with someone as well, and he encouraged me. Dr. Lin, I don't think he's still around because he was quite elderly. He was older when I was at uni. But Dr. Lin was fantastic. And I remember he used to throw in jokes and he used to say, you know, you're going to be in psychology and philosophy, which is what I'm doing now. But he used to say, but don't stay in your head so much. Mm. And he said, I got a joke for you. Adam and Eve. Eve ate the apple. What happened to the apple? I was like, I don't know. And he said, Adam's apple. He was so corny. He was so corny, but it was just, it loosens you up a little bit. So it's interesting, your philosophy professor encouraged you, because mine certainly did.
Yes. Wow. She even broke her own rules to support me, which was, it said something. She was like feared in school, right? So she had a nickname which wasn't pleasant, and I won't repeat it because people just did not like her. You see, she got me. And I wasn't so much ever thinking with my head. I was always led by my heart.
Right.
Until much later in life, when I forgot that part. And then I was like 4 or 5 years, like in the maze.
Searching. You need both. Yes, yeah. Indeed.
Like sometimes I do things that are experimental, shall we say, right? Not in a dangerous way, but in a non-conventional way, right? If it doesn't sit right with me, like I'm at the moment doing something like that in a business, right? I took many classes, courses, and even one-on-one training. And when something doesn't resonate with my inner guidance, mm-hmm. I just cannot follow it for yes. the love of me. It just doesn't sit right with me. So guess what? I am pretty certain that I couldn't find my way among all of the ways that they are teaching. And now I'm on the path of creating my own way. And I encourage everyone to do the same, to craft their own path, mm-hmm. to follow as far as it resonates, but then be prepared that last piece of journey that you will have to walk by yourself.
Yes, very good advice. And what an extraordinary journey that was as well. Mm. So, you know, when people say, oh, you know, uni's not for everyone. And, I can agree with that because I think some people's paths are different. Mm. But you can certainly learn and also gain some type of understanding, support.
Yes.
There from either your peers or the people who are teaching, instructing. Yeah. And that sounds like a really positive experience overall. For
absolutely.
You.
Yes. Yes, it is. And even though I don't have many friends from that part of my life, the ones that I have are true friendships.
Yeah.
So that is also something, you know, we were coming of age.
Yeah, absolutely.
In those years, right?
Brilliant time of life. Yes. A little bit scary and a little bit, you know, but yeah, it was
exciting overall.
Never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button right now. Thank you for your support. You make this podcast possible. Now, back to the show.
So, you know, I like to ask all of my guests, have you ever had to fly above anything because of the Inquisitive Wren?
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough to be a guest on your channel and we talked about what all that meant. So does anything come to mind for you?
Many times I had to, but perhaps the one that's most prominent in my mind is the most recent experience. And that is 4 years ago when I had to be a whistleblower in a law firm where I worked. After that whole episode ended and I was now faced with no job, because what happened was the classic whistleblowing case, right? I was, after the whistle was blown, I was looked upon as in a completely different way. Even though I spoke the truth and they all knew I spoke the truth, they were still looking at me as if I was the one who is responsible for bringing the whole show down, for exposing, you know, for pulling the curtain, even though they knew that was the right thing to do. So consequence of that was me. I was prepared to lose my job to do the right thing and I did speak with some of my colleagues who were involved and said that I will do it even if nobody else stands with me, because I had evidence for what I was speaking. And I did address and spoke directly with the person who was responsible for the misconduct. At the end of it, I was still left with no job. Right. And this was 2018, in August 2018. My children were just out of university. They were not employed. So it was a scary, scary moment. So I could have gone down the route of thinking, now I have to apply for the same job and do the same thing. But I took this approach of, as you say, higher viewpoint. Because that is always available to us. We can always lament and think that life is happening against us, that somehow something happened, you know, like a warning or like whatever. I would never think like that. I'm thinking life landed me a hand here in some way, and I need to figure out what is the best way to deal with this situation, right? So I realized that 11 years ago, when I was going through a divorce, I wasn't brave enough to take that choice. And here life was giving me the same choice again. And I was like, wow, you know, I wasn't going to miss it this time. No matter what it required of me, I thought I will find the courage to follow my path in life. And that is to be an artist, and then to connect all of the other elements of my work that I feel is my calling, and to bravely live from that calling and to step in that direction. So taking the higher perspective there and thinking that this was actually going in my favor, right? That door couldn't open before the other one was shut completely. Like there was no going back to the old way. So I hope that answers your questions, and I hope it helps someone who might be in the same situation.
Absolutely. So we have an example of courage, mm-hmm. and as you say, brave. You were brave. That really took. That must have taken for you a leap of faith as well.
Absolutely.
Huge leap of faith, because where's the money coming from next? How am I going to support my children? What am I going to do here? What about my reputation? Mm-hmm. These are all mm-hmm. linked to the root chakra and grounding us mm-hmm. in this mm-hmm. society and the earth. And when the root is uprooted, it's another chance for us to plant our seeds elsewhere, I believe. And mm-hmm. that's exactly what you did. That root was uprooted for good reasons, yes. you know. Now, you could have, as you say, you could have taken a whole different path.
Yes.
However, it would have compromised your integrity.
Yes.
Seems clear. And you weren't prepared to do that.
No, that is never an option. And I love then afterwards, a couple of years later, I read something that Paulo Coelho wrote on his blog, because I follow his work, and I love what he puts out there, that he said that people who are left with no choice, they're always the front runners in everything. And there were people arguing with him, saying we always have choice, Mr. Coelho, you know, and I saw where they're coming from, right? Yes. Of course, we always have a choice. Yes. But for me in that moment, that other choice was absolutely not an option I would consider. Yes. So I didn't have a choice, right. but to be brave yes. and to yeah. take the road I did.
That was your choice. Absolutely. Right. Yeah, I get it. Yes. Yeah, of course, we always have a choice. But for you, that wasn't one of your choices.
No, it wasn't my option. No.
Wasn't an option for you. No. Absolutely. But, you know, wonderful. Thank you for that, because I think it took so much courage. Mm. And I would think a lot of that courage fuels you to mm-hmm. help other people yes. as well.
It puts everything in context, really. Mm. I don't think I'm a mentor. I used to consider myself a coach up until maybe four weeks ago when we last spoke. And after that, another rethink. And as you know, I mean, I evolve in life. And mm-hmm. as I evolve, I cannot then keep, I no longer felt that I'm identifying with the word coach.
Right.
Right. So I thought, what is the better word? And the word leader to me is a better word. Okay. That is who I am. And I help other people to lead from that place of heart, because at the end of the day, the aim in life is to feel fulfilled in this lifetime, right? If we are missing that fulfillment, if we are missing the beauty that people are talking about, that all the poets have written, you know, beautiful poems and
volumes,
songs about.
Volumes.
Even in the most desperate of situations, they held on to that hope and that beauty, and they saw it in people, in other people. you have to take inspiration from that, if nothing else, right? But it is beyond that. You have to realize that you are choosing to feel disempowered. You are choosing to stay disconnected from the power of all there is. This energy that created the world is available to you, right? And you, based on the choices you made, like we said before, they can become deliberate rather than automatic choices that you are making.
Yes.
So when you live on autopilot, there's no way you have access to the fulfillment that you came here to live.
Absolutely.
You were born to live life of joy, and you were born to help humanity reach another level, right? The calling that we have here is big. Mm. And it is also, it is in the nature, it is playful and it is light, right? So it's not this somber event, like in all seriousness. No, it's playful, but it also instructs you to hold yourself to this higher standard, to this bigger picture, and to play your part, to play, not to observe how other people are having fun with life, but to get involved,
to participate
in your life to the fullest. And make no mistake, every one of us has their own unique mission to bring into the world. So mine is no more brilliant than Shah's is, and hers isn't more brilliant than yours.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
We can all get to it.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, comparison is the ego. It's an ego state. And also, I think you have to have a strong ego to be a leader, because you have to be, ego is okay. I think
people
think, but, you know, I think a very destructive ego is different. That's very different.
Yes.
Coaching is different. And I'm certainly one, when coaching got really big in the 90s, I did push against it, because I spent all these years learning psychology and how to be a psychotherapist. And and then people were setting up with no experience, no courses, nothing, saying, I'm going to coach you. And it was only after a couple of weeks, I spoke to someone who was a coach, and I realized, hold on, they actually can contribute, because it's a different approach.
Yes.
So I think when we relax our ego and our, you know, parameters around what we think. I saw someone the other day put something, a question in the psychology section, saying, which part of the brain do you most hate the name of? And somebody put the amygdalas, you know, and then somebody put, you know, I can't really understand this question, other than you trying to purport that you know all the brain parts or something to the person who tweet, you know, who put it in. And I just thought, well, you know what? We can all have different perspectives.
Yes, yes.
That was the only negative comment as such. Mm. However, what was the purpose of the question? So why are we judging the names of the brains? I guess this is bored today. So that was a bit of an ego, you know, post. Mm-hmm. However, I found that it could be educating as well.
Yes.
So somebody who didn't know about the parts of the brain could look up the amygdala and find out about how it's connected to emotions and all sorts of things.
Yes.
And that might spark their interest to learn more about psychology and maybe even study, maybe even become a scientist. So you just never know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what you're saying is, everybody has a purpose. I believe that too. Everybody will bring something to the world.
Yes.
And it's up to us not to necessarily judge it.
Yes.
I find that I judge if it's evil, if it's horrific, if they're hurting people, then that for me is unacceptable.
Right. I wouldn't call it judging. Of course, I wouldn't condone it. But I have a different approach to that, because it is clear that we cannot extract evil with evil.
Right. Right. Well, you see, a psychologist's approach, especially a humanistic approach, would be that, you know, that's not good. So that's a judgment.
Yes.
You killed people.
But good has to be in comparison with something else, right? To say I am better than.
Well, the comparison is let people live. You know, why are you killing people?
Absolutely, that is a no go. You cannot infringe upon someone else's freedoms of choice, right? So that is absolutely a no-go.
And that's a judgment.
However, how we deal with it as a society is a lot to be desired, right?
Totally different, absolutely. Yeah,
even in our focus and everything else, like, are we helping that situation or are we making it worse?
Confusing. But the situation itself, absolutely. Yes. The situation itself about killing, that's a judgment. You kill people, that's wrong. Don't do it. That's a judgment. So I say judgment because for me, I judge and I can't change that. That's a judgment. That's how I see it. Yeah.
Yes. And so, it doesn't have to have a negative meaning to it, right? That is then something I don't see it as a negative. In that act, if you're condemning something that isn't good and
absolutely
that is, you know, destroying life, that isn't pro-life, of course, then call it judging and I am with you. Yeah. I am with you there as well. I mean, absolutely, we didn't come here to do something against humanity.
To destroy human life. Yes. But I do agree, as you say, though, it takes a wider stance because we could say that about animals and then we get into people who eat animals. So we won't go into all that. But you see, it all has a wider context.
Yes.
And I think that's what Buddha and all the other sort of free thinkers, the people who were trying to get us to shrink. That's where the word shrink comes from. Mm-hmm. Shrink our ego.
Yes.
The people who are trying still through all their works to help us do that, I find it's helpful to reflect and maybe understand that we have a higher or a bigger, perhaps even a bigger, I don't know if purpose is the word, but wherever we go, whatever calling, I find that speaks to me more, bigger calling.
Yes.
I don't know if everyone does.
An assignment.
That
we were born with. And of course, it has to be for benefit of everyone. It has to be. And therefore, the thing that is against that isn't.
It's not helpful.
No, it's not helpful. It isn't in accordance with our nature. It isn't. We are not aligned with it. Mm. But we cannot fight it the same way it is spewing whatever it is doing. So, you know, we have to be united in our view of understanding that.
Yeah.
Isolating it and, feel the need to destroy it because that would be wrong. It just wouldn't, the way how we have society organized, there would be much destruction
and
innocent life lost before we arrive to the solution that way.
Absolutely. And there is now, isn't there? So,
absolutely.
which brings me to my next sort of question, because we got very philosophical there, which was good.
We did, I wanted to chip in another thing with the ego.
Yes.
So ego is a necessary part of us. We cannot eliminate
that's
it.
Right.
But I have given my ego a nice job to do, right? It can advise me if I look good, you know, and can stand in the mirror and say, okay, you know, this is, it can help me make choices as to what I'm wearing, how I'm appearing here. And that's as far as it goes. Every other choice is made from another part of me. It comes directly from the place of oneness and unity,
like that.
Right? My ego doesn't have a say in those decisions like that, right? It can just sit there. It done its job. It made me look, you know, good. And that's it. So that's as far as it goes.
I absolutely love that. And I can actually feel Freud stirring in his grave going, I need to get her on my couch. I need to tell her about the superego. I need to tell her.
He would think that, yes, that I am a lost cause.
Well, no, not a lost cause. He would love it, I'm sure. but I like that. I love that. And yes, I think it's good. You know, with hypnotherapy, we do something called parts therapy. So I like the fact that your ego, it has been compartmentalized in a way, and you gave it a job. Brilliant idea.
That's it. It has a purpose.
I love it. I like when people embrace the ego, because everybody thinks that the ego is a bad thing, and it isn't. It's what we do with the ego that can be bad. It's like everybody thinks narcissism is bad, and there's lots of videos on narcissism. Yes. Everyone has a narcissistic part to them.
Absolutely.
Otherwise we wouldn't be surviving. So we have to put things in their place.
Yes.
And the ego needs its place, and you've given it a really good place. I love it.
Well, that's where these conversations help, don't they? We're talking about how we are defining things.
Exactly.
That is just our perspective.
Exactly.
You have I have mine. The more perspective we can gather together and have a look at this one thing from so many different angles, the richer we are and the better experience we all
Absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely. Right? I always say, these are my thoughts, my opinions, my
thoughts.
Because I know everybody will have their own, and that's great. I may not agree, you may not agree, but a lot of what we're talking about may resonate with people, I believe, and will help them to think a different way. I wanted to ask you as well, if you could live in any particular decade, past or present or future, what would it be?
Well, years ago, I would have said I romanticized the past, you know, because that's what I thought all the great thinkers, all the great poets that we mentioned before and artists lived in that era. But I did figure out life wasn't much, you know, simpler or easier necessarily in those days. And now, in all honesty, I have to say that there isn't any other time that I would have wanted to experience more than this lifetime that I am experiencing right now. Right. So this to me is where my soul has traveled the furthest, and where I feel most like, you know, the fullest expression of me in this moment. It's not the final and fullest, completest version of me, but yes, it feels really good. So yeah, I wouldn't change it.
If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at inquire@theinquisitiveren.com. That's E-N-Q-U-I-R-E @theinquisitiveren.com. Be sure to check all social media, especially the Facebook page, for new topics being discussed. And if you can contribute, please let us know so you can be a guest on the show. Now, back to the show. Do you ever get a sense of a past life, or do you ever get senses of, you know, you've been here before, you felt it before?
Well, you get those things. I get those things just in moments, in certain moments. Like if I'm visiting a town where I was never before, you know, suddenly have this feeling like it just goes through me, like as if I know this scene that I'm observing in front of me. So that has happened many times, but I never connected the two to the past life experience.
I know you're currently running groups on Facebook. Is it, how do you connect with people, and what's it for, so our listeners know?
I have two groups, and one is running creative workshops every Monday. It is a free group, and everything that my private clients benefit from, I bring about then those creative workshops. So my private clients only get the benefit of working one-to-one with me, you see. But in that group, everything that the best and the fullest of what I do is shared there. So people have the opportunity to come live into the class with me. And I teach them, and I discuss with them, and I get out of them this, how to connect this playful nature that I talked about before with the highest purpose that they have in life in order to create a masterpiece. And the masterpiece is themselves in the first place. The masterpiece is their life and work. And the masterpiece is also their legacy, right? So it's actually something tangible that they create in this process, in discovering and taking back all the power that they have. So I have all variety of leaders there, creative people, creative thinkers, and also those who are curious about waking up and owning their creativity. And the other community that I have is on LinkedIn, and that one is dedicated to friendships, to building friendships, right?
Yes.
Not networking per se, starting with friendships, because I find that friendships is absolutely the basis, the foundation of everything good. Every great relationship I had, whether it was platonic relationship, you know, romantic relationship, business relationship of any kind, whether they worked with me or I worked with them, started off as friendship. So I saw a common thread there and really enjoyed that experience. So every Friday we meet up there and have a 20 minutes time out just for friendship. And whatever wants to transpire out of that, it will. If it's business, well, it's business, you know. If it's just get together as friends and talk about things that, you know, people are just brushing under the carpet or they have this judgmental approach, you know, like my opinion is right and someone else isn't. Like those people are not open for conversation, obviously. Yeah. They're just looking tribe. To identify with that idea, and then they go against other tribes into pursuit on the internet wars and whatever they're doing.
But that's amazing though, both groups, created one on Facebook and then you've got the LinkedIn on Friday at noon, as you said. Mm-hmm. Brilliant stuff. So all the links will be there. Right. Why do you think people are drawn to be part of tribes and groups, and they're looking for their tribes, and they're looking for that? For me, it's like, it's almost like a family structure they're looking for. But what are your thoughts about that?
My thoughts are, I can only connect with one individual at a time. I cannot group people, even if they identify with the same things. I cannot put them all in the same basket. I see them as individuals and I relate to them as individuals. That's how I build relationships. Mm-hmm. And surprise, surprise, I did not find a tribe where I thought I fitted ever, right? It's not to say that I, you know, dislike them in any way. It just did not resonate with me enough to say, you know, I am all of that, because to me, I feel I am that. And then there is more to me.
Absolutely.
So I don't, my spirit doesn't want to be, restricted in that way to find, to express itself in another free way. And if, 2 months down the line, wants to call itself something else, I would have to follow.
I love that. And, you know, listeners, I'm in no way denigrating sororities, fraternities, or groups or tribes. You do what you feel is right and what you're drawn to. In fact, a lot of my friends from uni belong to sororities, fraternities, and they've got the absolute best experience. They've had the best experience. They're friends for life. It really is a very positive thing, is what I'm saying. They really gain business, lifelong friendships. Their families get together. It's amazing stuff.
And that is great.
And that's great for them, but we're not all drawn. And the only reason I'm bringing this up, and I wanted to ask Katerina about it, is this life is about what you're doing. And it's okay, it is okay if you don't feel a connection with a group or a tribe of people or a business even, you know, or a company. You know how sometimes we say, oh, I don't like that company. There will be something that doesn't resonate. So it's okay.
Yes.
And that's why I'm bringing it up. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with you.
No, I always say if something is serving you, you have absolutely every reason to pursue that avenue. I'm only talking about when something stops serving us and we persist going down that route.
Absolutely.
You know, I am all in favor of being absolutely honest with myself and saying, you know what, this resonated 5-10 years ago, but it no longer does.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I was a member of photographic society, and I traveled with them and was a member, and for 12 years, participated in competitions. I was on the panel with them. But when it came to an end, I didn't hold on. I didn't now think I have to stay here till I die, you know, because when I feel that my journey is calling me in another direction, or I just need to expand and there is no more room to hold on to that, that's a great experience. And I would say absolutely, you know, join. That kind of have that experience for yourself, but don't hold yourself beyond it serving you and your purpose in life. What you feel is your calling.
Brilliant advice. Mm-hmm. Excellent advice for people. And it's okay. Whatever path we're on is fine. So would you say you're doing your life's work?
Absolutely. Yes. I could... absolutely sleep at night, right? When I worked in that law firm, I knew that there is more that I ought to be doing. I approached it from within there. I offered, I told them they're not using all of my capacity. So I offered to, because I thought if I'm here, I might as well go all the way. So I offered to get, degree where they needed to fill the gap. Way they needed to, and I, you know, invited them to support me in that journey. They weren't interested, and I was thinking, oh, I need to get out of here, but like I couldn't get out until life lended me a hand through that experience. Then that, you know,
that is such a teaching moment.
Yes,
that is.
Yes, and I'm grateful. It was only 5 years that I worked there. Right. Knowing me, this could have been like 12 years. Right.
Well,
I could have just signed off 12 years of my life because it was good enough. And I think the good enough and safe enough, like while my children were in university and I was as a single parent, had to, look after myself, look after the household and help support them. I thought I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. That is the thing, it ticked every box of that. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Apart from that box in my heart knew like, you need to be doing more than this, right? You're not doing all that you have to be doing in this lifetime.
That is a teaching moment, but not just for you, for anybody who's watching or listening to this now. You may be in that situation now. You may be in something for 10, 12 years and you know deep in your heart you've outgrown it, or perhaps they've outgrown you. Let's put it both ways. Maybe they're moving up and you can't move on with them. So, you know, an opportunity is being presented to you now. If you've got that feeling, it's now. And if you don't take it, the opportunity will still present itself, but perhaps in a way that puts you in a compromising position. And you've got to then work your way out. I have found in life, if I don't listen to those cues, then I find, whoops, something happens, something goes, something does, and that's it.
Yeah, they don't stop happening. They're just it gets louder and clearer.
Yes, a good way to put it. It gets louder and clearer, absolutely. And then before you know it, that's it, where your opportunity, your choices are dwindling down, and then you've got maybe a couple of choices and that's it. And if you listened earlier, and you know, they are, there's a proponent, you know, people will say, well, it's a part of the journey. I would agree with that as well. Even if you do wait, even if it's all a part of your life, it lessons, is. It is. Your journeys.
But I would like to own that I made it longer than necessary. I had to confirm the lesson a few times.
Yes, we've all had that, Katerina. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just didn't listen. I wasn't ready. And that was it, funnily enough. So with the bird's eye view, because we're almost at the end now, is there anything you'd change about life?
No, again, because I'm also one of those who does believe that all of that served a purpose. And sometimes it took me 5 years to arrive at the lesson that that previous experience was offering. But in all honesty, in all the richness of that lesson, it keeps coming. So I wouldn't like to have it any different way, than what it was. Because it served me then, even if it was hard and difficult situation, I came out the other side. I've rebuilt my life. I have found myself in a way that connected all of these different pieces of me. And now I'm feeling so comfortable and happy, but I still draw from those lessons, you see. As I said, they keep coming. Like 2 months from now, I might have another realization what that experience really was for and what it taught me. So,
excellent. Yes. Excellent point that is, really. Again, oh gosh, the gems keep coming here. You know, because that is brilliant. You're right. Even though we sat here today, we're talking about this. In the future, you could think, oh, actually, I learned this. That happens all the time. Absolutely. And even people in therapy, that can happen. You know, people often say, why are people in therapy for so long? And I have to say, I will give that answer. You know, sometimes it takes a while for the light bulb to go on. And somebody could be, you know, I always have this image, the Bob Dylan video where he's holding up the, I don't know if you remember this, he's holding up the place cards. Many people have replicated that video, but it's Bob Dylan. I can't remember the name of it. And so people are holding up all the signs for you. Everybody you meet randomly are giving you these messages and you're going,
pretend you didn't see it.
Not see a thing. And then something happens, and then you say, oh my goodness,
I can no longer deny it. I see it, and you can't unsee it.
And people have been telling you, and people have tried to say, and I don't mean that people are always nice. There might be people who treat you horribly at work. That's a sign as well. That's a sign that you may be in the wrong space, or that you may need to look at yourself too and how you take things on board. So yeah, life's about lessons. So what makes your heart sing?
life. Just being alive, having connections, being able to have this type of conversation with everyone, with people in my family, with my friends, with people who are guests on my podcast, from just going into the deepest, most fertile soil of life and exploring there, playing there with that, molding it into this meaning, right? Because we're not handed meaning on a plate. We create it as we travel through life. And we have a choice, you know, if we want to create a meaning that's just like, you know, this is not inspiring me or anybody else. And, you know, who would want to be, would you like to be with a friend who is like that? Would you want to be with the partner, a long-term relationship with somebody who is like that? Then you have to realize, you know, this the changes really begin within. When you embody more and more of who you really are, when you embrace all of that and just say, you know, I don't care if anyone else gets it or doesn't get it. I get me, right? And you start expressing that and you see that other people will suddenly start discovering, hey, this is inside me as well. It's not just inside her and him. And, you know, yes, friends, this is inside all of us. The magic, the brilliance, the genius, and in as many different forms as you can imagine, you have your unique gifts inside you. Play with them, explore, share them, bring them into the world. So yeah.
Perfect.
That's what makes me so excited about
that. That is very, even as you describe it, very exciting. So we're going to put a fork in it. We're going to get our far out random question here. I have my bowl here, so I don't want people to, oh, my green screen's not. Okay, so here we go. Oh, okay. What doesn't exist but should? What doesn't exist but should?
Let's see, how can we answer this creatively, in a creative way? Life is so full of hidden meanings. There are hidden messages in everything that we see. And that's already there, though. That isn't something that doesn't exist. It's just, I hope that more eyes can be seeing this magic of life, right? I don't know how to put that in words,
Sha. No, I like it. It's good. You know what? What I'm thinking of is something more tangible, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wish, is there, maybe you know, is there a light that replicates sunlight?
Ooh.
You know, and this only because I'm doing all these Zooms and the room I'm in, it has a skylight, but I don't have enough frontal light. And so if I could find a light, listeners, tell me what exists that replicates sunlight that I could put in front of me. I told you these questions are really random. They're far out random questions. Katerina, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure as always.
It was a pleasure to be a guest and to share these conversations on both our platforms. It's really, I think that is our contribution to making the world better, to making it more accessible to more people.
So, I think so. Thanks so much for listening today. Make sure you subscribe and follow on all streaming platforms. Leave me a comment and also let me know if there's any particular topics you'd like me to discuss. See you next time.